Gene Boldick is with us, the host of The Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for Thing Not a Thing, the game in which Gene and I take a look at all the things that have people upset on social media this week, and we decide, is it a thing or is it not a thing? I'm going to let you start this week. What do we got?
Well, I think that, you know, it is another episode of What Else Is New, but...
Yeah, that's why I want to let you start this week.
I really feel like the stuff that Trump is doing, up to and including this ridiculous, I don't know, are we calling it a press conference, this clown car business that happened with Rudy Giuliani and the dream team of lawyers that have assembled to question the results of the election. These people are doing things that have nothing to do with actually challenging the result. This is a show business nonsense, a bunch of moves that they're not saying these things in court. They don't have a legal argument. There are consequences for lying to judges. And so they're doing things in front of microphones that in my opinion are mainly revealing the willingness of the news media to jump at it and keep it going.
Yeah.
So I think that's not a thing. I am not worried about the transfer of power. I do wish the president would cooperate with the transition.
Yeah.
That is a problem. That's a real problem. But for all the stuff that's going on with Giuliani and all that stuff, I don't think that's a thing.
Yeah, I think you're right that that's not a thing insofar as there's any chance of it succeeding in court or having an impact on the outcome of the election. I think what does make it a thing is the fact that you've got all of these like really significant people in positions of power who are going out of their way to, with no evidence, just for their own personal gain, sow...
Yeah.
Distrust and a lack of faith in democracy, American government, the democratic process, basic institutions, other Americans. That, I think, is a thing. The fact that people are misusing
yeah.
their position of power for that purpose. And
I
appreciate
agree.
That there is now a growing number of Republicans who are finally... standing up and saying that to the president. I wish they were doing it a lot faster and more forcefully, and I wish that there were a
right.
lot more of them doing it. But the fact that there are some new names that hadn't stood up in the past is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, it is. And you know, good for Mitt Romney, good for Ben Sasse,
mm-hmm.
for putting out, you know, unambiguous written statement.
Joni Ernst as well in Iowa.
And Joni Ernst, right. I mean, shame on them, the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
They should all be signing on to a letter to the president demanding that he get out of the way.
Yeah.
And
I mean, shame on someone like Giuliani for just
yeah.
diving headlong into the obstruction, but also shame on someone like Mitch McConnell again for...
Exactly.
For withdrawing into his shell, as we'll say, and and not saying anything, like just sitting there and watching it and saying nothing and having the power to stand up and say something and have those words be meaningful and reach people and still saying nothing is ridiculous to me.
It is. And, you know, the House has sent a demand letter to Emily Murphy, the administrator of the GSA, calling her to come before Congress and explain why she's refusing to authorize the transition. This part of it, it is bureaucratic, but it does matter. I mean, this authorizing this transition is the law, and you're obstructing the law. You're getting in the way of a legal process. So that stuff, you know, it's real. The problems that it causes are real. The slowdown that it will cause in Biden's ability to react to COVID rapidly when he takes office, these are going to have very real world impacts. And, you know, America is staring right down the barrel of sitting at home next Thursday and not traveling and getting together as they would like to.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that people comply with that, because with the virus as rampant as it is right now, the risk is higher and higher. And, you know, we need to stay out of the hospital, all of us, to the extent we can. And we need to do it as a patriotic act, not just self-serving.
Yeah. And an act
that's...
So
I think that's really a thing.
Yeah. And an act that's not just patriotic and also self-serving, but also is necessary to keep our friends and our family members safe as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. We all need to do what's... This is difficult for people. I mean, I have some relatives that are living alone through all of this and
mm-hmm.
going through the holidays in that same state. It's really difficult. And, you know, to the extent that any of us has the opportunity to reach out in the ways that are safe to do so, we should. We must.
Yeah. Well, I remember way back at the very beginning of this, back in, I don't know if it was March or it might have been early April, but it was early on in the pandemic when we were just beginning to get sick and tired of it. There was a media availability that Duke University has done a really good job holding media availabilities with leading experts at Duke throughout all of this on the election and on COVID and just every aspect of it. And there was one of the early ones that was about the impact on religion and on churches and faith communities. Mm. And this was prior to Easter. So it would have been like late March, early April. It was right in the lead up to Easter,
right,
when we were talking about like, oh, what is this going to mean? And everyone, and there was a leader of a Christian church. There was a Jewish leader. There was a Muslim leader. I think there was a fourth person as well, just sort of like general expert on religion and religious traditions, if I remember right. But all of them said the same thing, which is like different variations on the same basic point, which is that part of being in a faith community and part of being a religious person and acting that way in the world is you go out and you do what you need to do in order to make the world a better place. And within your community, you act in a way that helps and supports the other members of your church or your fellow human beings. And usually that means coming together around a dinner table, or coming together on Saturday or Sunday when you're going to religious services, or coming together at Thanksgiving and checking in on your family and being there in person. But sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes, like now, being a good person in the world and being a religious person in the world means doing what it takes to make the world a better place. And that means not going to church on Sunday, not going to Thanksgiving dinner, like finding other ways to make those connections and help and support and love each other without necessarily being in the same place where we might be getting each other sick. And I think that's a point that a lot of people are forgetting.
Yeah, it's a big, big challenge, and people approach it from you know, through their own lens, and including people who are feeling like their rights are being interfered with. And, you know, instead of thinking about this as a worthy sacrifice for the obvious benefit of public safety. So,
yeah,
I don't know. We have to figure it out, Aaron.
Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
Well, you know, one of the people who's going to help us figure it out, and
oh,
that's
good.
Barbara Fushi. We had a lovely talk. I always enjoy talking to Barbara. We have so much fun, and she's going to be, I think, on again in a few weeks. And she's just a joy to behold, and also is the mayor pro tem. We had a great talk about Kamala Harris.
Sounds good. Find
yeah.
show times for the Weekend Water Cooler on our broadcast calendar at chapelboro.com. Head to weekendwatercooler.com to get previous shows as well. Listen back to all of them. Gene Boldick, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.